Good morning. Hope everybody had a great week. And we're glad to have people visiting with us today. Glad to have you here. This is Mother's Day. A daughter in Grafton, West Virginia, decided she needed to have a day to honor mothers. And it spread, and then the whole country decided they'd want to do it. And Hallmark got into it, of course. I think it's awesome that we honor our mothers. And it's not a Bible holiday, but the Bible holidays we have are very, very rare. Okay, Passover and Purim and some of the other ones that we don't normally celebrate. But I'd like for us, if we could, to embarrass our mothers and ask them to stand so that we might honor. All right, come on, you mamas. Larissa, shame on you. All right, grandmothers, if you would remain standing. Oh, my. That's pretty good. All right, great-grandmothers. Do we have some great-grandmothers standing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Any great-great-grandmothers? Just, all right, that's good. Thank you so much. We were going to bring in a ringer today from Indiana, but she was unable to make it. So we would have had two great-great-grandmothers, but that's awesome. We are so blessed. My children, when I grew up, my grandmother's aunt, Myrtle, red-haired Aunt Myrtle. So she was my dad's great aunt, my great great, my kids' great great. They called her their real great Aunt Myrtle. We want to take a look at the only person in the Bible that has two mother-in-laws named and is blessed by two mother-in-laws, and that's Ruth. Her first mother-in-law, Naomi, taught her to love God and to trust God. And the second one we'll see later. All right? Now, we're going to start back about 1,100 years before Jesus. In Ruth 1, the joy in the book of Ruth is found in Ruth showing her loving kindness to Naomi. That's just so amazing how that she continues to show love to her mother-in-law. If we know the story, there was a famine in Bethlehem in Israel. And so Samuel this morning. Elimelech took his wife, Naomi, and their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and left Israel and went to live down in Moab because of the famine in Israel. Well, while he was down there, a few things happened. First, his sons met neighbor girls, and they married Orpah and Ruth. Well, then he got sick and died, and then his sons got sick and died. And then the famine was over, and then Naomi decides she wants to go back home to Bethlehem. And so she goes back, and on the way back, she tells the girls, "Hey, I don't have any sons to give you. Even if I did marry and have another son, would you wait till he grew up? So you go back home to your people." She leaves and goes back. And Ruth says the line that we have here for our text, verses 16 and 17. I'll start back up in verse 15 just to get the context. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Okay? How in the world does Ruth decide to bless Naomi like this? There's not a good reason for her to bless her mother. Okay, she's a foreigner. I'm in my own country. Her son has died. My husband's died. I really don't have a tie to her anymore. I can go back to my people. Her family worships some weird god. My family doesn't. And yet something has enticed her to go with me. She's not going with Naomi because she has to. She's going with Naomi because she wants to. That's the kind of love we're supposed to all have. And in this story, we see Ruth, who has a learned love, exhibiting that towards her mother. Now, the presence of Ruth, the fact that she says, I'm going to stay with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you lodge, I'm going to lodge. I'm going to stay with you. That determination on her part demonstrates, okay, her loving faithfulness. She says, I'm going to be faithful. Now, is that important? Is your presence important in marriage? Well, yeah. Okay. Is it important in other relationships and friendships? Yeah. If we don't spend any time with each other, eventually we just, absence makes the heart go wander. Okay. You get farther and farther away if we don't spend some significant time with each other. Now, how does her continuing kindness show loving faithfulness? When they get to Bethlehem, they have no welfare check. They have no Social Security check. They have no income. But as I told the children this morning, Israel had worked things out that you could go into the fields and you could glean after the harvesters. And so Ruth has decided she's going to go into a field where she doesn't know anybody, in a country where she doesn't know anybody, and she's going to start following the laborers, picking up whatever grain they leave behind. And so she goes through and she keeps on doing this all through the barley harvest and then all through the wheat harvest. And so that's a period of months that she's been working here to try to take care of her mother-in-law. So she's basic mom for some reason. Mom's not out there, so I don't think mom's healthy enough to do this. But she goes out and she does all this work to take care of her mama, mother-in-law. And that's her mother-in-law. You know, you heard me tell mother-in-law jokes all the time, but sorry about that. But she's loving her mother-in-law and blessed by her mother-in-law. Now, how can we display the loving faithfulness of Christ? There's two things that we see here on her loving faithfulness. First is, she's learned it from mama. She's learned it from Naomi. But now she's exhibiting it first in her presence and then in her service. Do we do that to God? Do we need to be with God? Do we need to be with the people of God? We belong to Christ, but if you read in Acts 12, verse 1, Herod arrested James and Peter because they belonged to the church. We don't just belong to Christ, we belong to his people. This is the family of God. We belong. I'm not complete without you. We need each other's presence. And so, by our presence, we show God our love. Jonathan said to David, when he wasn't going to be at the feast days, he says, you will be missed because your seat will be empty. And when you're not here, you're missed. Your seat's empty. We like having you around. So her presence demonstrated her love, but also her service demonstrated her love. It says that the kindnesses we do, the service that we give to others, the Bible views that as a sacrifice to God in Hebrews 13, verse 16. As you show kindness to others, your service is viewed as a sacrifice to God. Hebrews 13, verse 16. Now, we rejoice every time her loving faithfulness is rewarded. If you're following along in Ruth, look in chapter 2. In verse 17, it says, It says, so Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. When she had threshed the barley she'd gathered, it amounted to about an ephah. That's like over 30 pounds, about 3/5 of a bushel. Okay, about 36 pounds. Okay, she carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she'd gathered. And Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Okay, she was amazed, and she took care of her mother-in-law with all this. Is Ruth being blessed? Well, if you read the whole story, you realize that Boaz, it says, who's that foreign girl over there? Oh, that's Ruth. Oh, she's been taking really good care of my cousin's widow. Well, hey, be nice to her. Let her drink out of your water jar. Kind of purposely but accidentally, so that she doesn't know you're doing it on purpose, kind of leave a few stalks of grain that you kind of, oops, accidentally missed. And so they've had to do that, or she wouldn't have 36 pounds. Now, this is not 36 pounds of the sheaves of grain. This is after she got all those sheaves of grain, and now she's gleaned that out and gotten the grain off of those stalks of grain, and she's rubbed out and gotten all of the chaff off of it, and she's got 36 pounds of grain. She's got this big bag. Okay, their bags they had normally, picture an overgrown bath towel. Okay, really, it's a big piece of fabric folded in fourths. And so it's about the shape of an overgrown bath towel. You tie the four corners together and put it over your shoulder, and that's what you put your grain in. And so she's got this thing full of about almost 40 pounds of grain that she's got, that she's kept. Now, to do that, how many sheaves of grain has she had to gather to do that? Okay, so has this girl been working all day? But has she been being blessed? When we see her being blessed, we love that. When we see other people being blessed for their service, I like to see that happen. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes people lose their jobs, people lose their health. Sometimes 12-year-old girls die. Sometimes, you know, been working for a place 31 years, get fired. Those things happen. But we rejoice every time her loving faithfulness is rewarded. How did God let Ruth know that he was continuing to lead her? Well, for starters, she's got all the food she needs, doesn't she? She's being taken care of in that regard. And they have the property, because that property belonged to the family before they left. Now, how does God let us know that he's continuing to lead us? What if I get sick? What if I lose my job? What if I have hard times? Is God still leading us? Yeah. Well, how do you know that? Having food and clothing, therewith be content. All right? It doesn't even say shelter. It just says food and clothing. If you've got something to put on, and if you've got something to eat, he says be content. Is God taking care of us? Well, I'm not getting everything I want. It's not about me getting everything I want. God's taking care of us. Is he continuing to lead us? In all the different aspects of our lives, God hasn't left you. I will never forsake you. I'll never leave you. Lo, I'm with you always. Matthew 28, verse 20. Now, we marvel not just at Ruth and how she continually gets blessed. We also marvel at the loving honor and faithfulness of Boaz. Let's pick up the story in chapter 3, verse 16, 17. Boaz, by the way, has been faithful taking care of her, making sure she's had grain. But now, in Ruth 3, Mama Naomi has decided, okay, it's time to work something out. Boaz, by the kindness he's shown to you, is shown that he cares about you. I want you to give him an opportunity to make a decision. And so this is the time after the barley harvest, after the wheat harvest. Now everything's been gathered in. The people get to, okay, and they have a big party. And so when they're having a big party, she says, I want you to get cleaned up. I want you to get dressed up nice. I want you to go to the threshing floor of Boaz. And when he lays down, wait until he's asleep. You just watch from a distance. After he's asleep, you go and lay down at his feet. She didn't understand the culture, but Naomi understood the culture. She goes and lays at his feet. He wakes up, startled. Well, let's just read it. 3 verse 16. I'll start in verse 8. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "Well, I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you're my kinsman redeemer." By the way, the word corner there is the word for wings. The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer who is nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here till morning." So she lay at his feet. Key thought. I know in the movies they try to make something illicit out of that. Verse 14, she lay at his feet until morning. But he got up before anyone could recognize. And he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me your shawl you're wearing and hold it out." And when she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. Okay? 6 measures of barley. There's a bunch. Okay? And when Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "And he also gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed." Okay? Is he faithful in taking care of this lady who is taking care of his cousin's widow? Okay? How does he show favor to a Gentile woman? So this, Jews didn't hang around with Gentiles. The Pharisees were so incensed at Gentiles that if the shadow of a Gentile fell on them, they'd go home and take a bath. They washed their food carefully because the shadow of a Gentile may have fallen on their food. Ridiculous. And here he is showing kindness to a foreign woman who's caring for his cousin's widow. Now, notice how it goes on, and he carefully practices honor. We read 8 through verse 15. And now in chapter 4, this is the important part of the story, because he's not the closest kinsman redeemer. There's a second one. He's the second one. There's a first one. So in chapter 4, he says, "Meanwhile," if you read along, "Boaz went up to the town gate, and he sat there. And when the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, come over here, my friend, and sit down. So he went over and sat down." This is his older brother or his cousin. Okay? "Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, Naomi, who's come back from Moab, is selling her piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of all of these who are seated here, in the presence of the elders of my people." He's got witnesses. This is important. Okay? "If you redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so that I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I'm next in line." You're my older cousin or older brother, and I'm second. I'm the second oldest one. I'll redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "Well, on the day," here comes the zinger, "on the day that you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, you also acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." Notice he stuck in that word Moabite. Okay? Ruth the Moabitess. "At this, the kinsman redeemer said, oh, then I can't redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I can't do it." And now in earlier times in Israel, if you go back to Deuteronomy 25. The redemption transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was mentioned the legalizing transactions in Israel. Oh, and by the way, this has to do with the Levitical law. And because someone wouldn't take care of a widow, they were supposed to also spit in his face, but that didn't happen here. Okay? Anyway, so the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And so he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders of all those at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together build up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Though the offspring of the Lord, through the offspring the Lord gives you by this woman, may your family be like Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. So Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife. They came together. He went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive. She gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, lay him in her lap, and cared for him. I just think that's awesome. Is Boaz an honorable man? Is he a faithful man? That's key. So what we've seen so far, we have seen a loving, faithful servant, daughter-in-law, and a faithful, honorable man, right? How'd they get that? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Both of these two, Ruth and her loving faithfulness, Boaz and his honorable and faithfulness, were blessed by mamas. One by a mother-in-law, one by her mother, who becomes Ruth's other mother-in-law. Okay, let's start in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. We find out that Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant to each of you that you'll find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them and wept aloud and said to her, we'll go back with you. They said to her, we'll go back with you to your people. All right? Her love motivated these women to want to come. These girls aren't dumb. Especially Ruth, I'm risking everything to follow this lady. Why would you do that? You would only do that if you thought it was worth doing so. When Jesus walks along the Sea of Galilee and he sees fishermen there cleaning out their nets and he says, follow me, what do? They leave the fish, they leave the nets, they leave the boat, they leave their family, they leave everything and follow Jesus. They're not dumb. Oh, here you are, you're at work. You just got done working on your lathe or whatever it's done. You've done your working on your spreadsheet, working on the computer, whatever it is. You're at work. You've got a good job. You've had a few advancements. Things are going real well. And somebody comes up and says, follow me. Are you going to leave your whole job to follow this guy? Only if he can show you something worth following. Truth? Did Jesus show these men something worth following? Did Naomi show Ruth something worth following? She went because she wanted to, not because she had to. Mama gave her a chance to turn back. She didn't turn back. She blessed their lives to the point they wanted to be blessed. Now, what explanation can we find for the source of Ruth's loving faithfulness? Naomi. It's got to be Naomi. She didn't learn this in pagan Moabite culture. She learned this from Naomi. So she was blessed by mamas. Were you blessed by a mama? I miss mine. I like my new one, but I miss her too because she's in Oklahoma. Okay? Now, how about Boaz? Boaz has faithful honor. In Matthew 1 verse 5, let's look at both of these passages. First the Matthew passage and then Hebrews. Sound fair? We'll go to Matthew chapter 1. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, Jacob begat Judah and Perez, and Perez begat, it goes on. And eventually, down in verse 5, it says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Got that? And then Obed that we're going to read about here. Boaz, the father of Obed, the mother of Ruth, whose mother was Ruth. Okay? So Boaz's mama is Rahab. Who's Rahab? Now let's go back to Hebrews 11. Back in Hebrews 11, we have a list of the faithful. This is the hall of fame of faith in the Bible. And in Hebrews 11, it says in verse 31, after it's mentioned Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, all of these people, Moses, in verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Is Rahab's faith a model here? Also in James. Is Rahab seen as a person who's an example of faith? If you're an example of faith, do your kids see it? If you want your kids to have an example of faith, do you need to be it? And this is true for moms and dads. So this whole lesson, we have to always remember what Ephesians 6 verse 4 says. Ephesians 6 verse 4 says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, we have that responsibility to be the example. So just as Naomi imbued Ruth with her faithful love, Rahab has placed her honor. She was honorable to the spies and protected them and honored her word and kept them safe. And she showed faith in trusting that when they were foreigners. But she was moved to show honor and faith, and now her son has learned it. So the lesson for us, today mothers continue to bless us with loving faithfulness. We know the passage in Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman who can find her worth is far above rubies. But we're just going to look at the last four verses there. And he says, starting in verse 28, Proverbs 31, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Okay? Was Naomi finally honored for the kindness that she showed to Ruth? Yes. And sometimes you think, you know, what's going to happen? But as you continue to be that example of faithfulness, you will see the reward in your children, in your grandchildren, in your great-grandchildren, and the children of others. The children, like I said, we had a lady, Margaret, who taught three generations of children in Bible classes. Never had any children of her own, but she did have hundreds of children of her own. And they rise and call her blessed. Now, how have we been imbued with loving faithfulness? I have vivid memories of my grandmother on her knees, of my mom sitting down writing notes from her study of the scriptures. She wrote her own harmony of Kings and Chronicles. Okay? all those kings and how many years they ruled and reigned and which year it was when all the different things happened. And she did a study, all that. It's like four notebooks full of her study just on that. She studied other things. She's got dozens and dozens of books that my sister has. And about a foot and a half of worn out Bibles on the shelf that just held together. Okay, you are to be an example of loving faithfulness. My other grandmother, I remember her just having kindness and having people over the house, always showing kindness to people, always hugging, always smiling. You want to be that set, that example of honor. Now, what can we do to continue to spread loving faithfulness on the earth? You see, this is not just about us honoring the mothers who blessed us and the dads. It's also about being that influence for the rest of the world. God has left us where we are so that we will bless the next generation. When we think we've got more important things to do than hang around with kids, that's a lie. There is nothing we can do more important than help turn the heart of any child closer to God. There's nothing we can do more important. Okay? When the disciples of Jesus tried to push these people away, what did Jesus say in Matthew 19? Do not forbid the children to come unto me. Do not hinder the children from coming unto me. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he took them in his arms and held them and blessed them. So we need to continue to spread loving faithfulness on the earth by being the example that our children and their children desperately need. Now the call to action this morning is to find and then to allow mothers to spread loving faithfulness and then to honor them for doing so. And the mothers that you help, that will help allow you, that will do that, they're not always your flesh. The mother that helped Ruth wasn't her mom, but she became a mom. What did Jesus say in Mark chapter 3? Jesus was sitting in a room in Capernaum with some of his disciples. Came unto him, they said, Lord, Lord, your mother and your brother's outside. And he said, who's my mother and my brother? He that does the will of my Father is my mother and brother and sister. And so, you show the character of Christ to others and they learn from that. That's what makes you a mother, a father, a blessing in the life of others. Now, how would the loving faithfulness of Naomi and of Rahab, how would it find its way into the hearts of Ruth and Boaz? They spent time with them. That's the only way it happened. Ruth saw something in Naomi that was so impressive, she would leave her country, her family, her life she was comfortable with, her culture, leave everything and follow her to a land she'd never been in, where she would be a foreigner the rest of her life. And she went because she had that much faith in this woman, what she'd seen. How did Boaz get it? Well, Rahab, who's honored as one of the faithful, totally had a change of her life. What kind of transformation had to take place in her life to go from being a harlot to be a mother in Israel, who is in the one of four women named in the lineage of Christ in Matthew 1. Now, how are we going to develop loving kindness in our society? The hand that rocks the cradle? That's not Bible. But the role of women in Scripture is obvious. And in our homes, we need to make sure that we honor women who are women of honor, women of loving kindness, as these two women were, and as they blessed this young couple, Ruth and Boaz. Now, how can you honor those who infect others with kindness? It's really easy. You say, thank you. You said, that was wonderful. You thank them. You honor them. We are told to have an attitude of gratitude. We are told to be filled with thankfulness. When's the last time you thanked someone who blessed your life? Today, we've got a whole day set aside just so we can honor those ladies who blessed our lives. Let's be that honoring influence in their lives as best we can. Now, what can you do to spread faithful love? What can you do to spread faithful love? I've got to be that example. There are people following you. There are people looking to you. Will they see anger? Will they see self-centeredness? Will they see materialism? What will they see in you? It's important that we be the example that God called us to be. So the lesson this morning, we need to find, we need to allow and honor mothers who spread loving kindness, loving faithfulness. We've got a bunch of examples right here in this room. I could embarrass you, but I already did that once. Thank you. Yes, in the Bible, all the preachers, all the elders, all those who lead in assemblies in the New Testament are all men. That doesn't mean we're better at it. It means that's what God has chosen. But I have never been in a congregation that didn't have more women in it than men. More women serving than men. More women teaching Bible classes than men. More women bringing visitors and all the rest of those things than men. The choice of God was not based on whether or not we're better at something, but that God chose different roles in the home and in the church so that men could learn aspects of His character that they do not naturally possess, but that women do. And by leading, we learn that nature. And women who would like to lead learn other aspects of His character by allowing men to lead. And so God chose the differing roles in the home and in the church. And we follow those examples because Scripture tells us to. But in that whole process, may we never forget to honor those women who have blessed our lives. And then let us rise up and be the example we need to be to bless others, to bless the next generation and the next generation. If you're not yet in Christ, you can't lead someone else to do something you have not done. If you're going to be the example of a child of God, you need to be a child of God. If you're already born in Christ and you need us to help you with something else, if you've already been baptized in Christ, you need someone to pray with you about some need, whatever that need might be, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.